Hello and welcome in to the Hill and Valley. This is Nick Roby. Thanks for tuning in. If you haven't joined us before, welcome. We're super glad to have you. We are the Clemson podcast, a part of the Backyard Catch Network. So whether you're watching us YouTube on the whole Backyard Catch YouTube channel, whether you're listening to us on podcasts, Spotify, whoever you get your episodes, we thank you so much. A lot to dive in this first episode of the new year. Clemson coming off of a ACC title. They're coming off a playoff appearance where they lost a tough one to Texas on the road. You know, obviously some changes have been made. Wes Goodwin is out as offensive coordinator. Tom Allen is in. He was at Penn State. Actually, before that, he used to also be the coach of Indiana. So it'll be really interesting. It's his first test as well. And then, you know, they start off with the clean and casual, easy game. No, they have number 9 LSU coming into their stadium. Clemson lost, you know, did not play well in that first, really that second half against Georgia. But now you get number 9 LSU, who, you know, it's a lot to talk about. They've lost 5 SEC games in a row, or ACC openers in a row, opening games in a row, I mean. What I was trying to also say was that Clemson lost their 3 SEC games last year. So, you know, a lot riding on this, I think, for both teams. You know, I think Brian Kelly, he wants to take that next level up. I know that there's been some results, but I think not where LSU fans would want them to be. I know Clemson expects and is anticipating a lot with this team. Kind of the feel is that a lot of the pundits really like Clemson is one of the top teams, even for a national championship. I know it also makes Clemson fans nervous. I think the tenor is, or the feel around the program, is a lot of fans like to not be talked about as much and, you know, kind of let it build up. But at the same time, I mean, they're going to talk. And I think it kind of makes sense because in an era of so much transfer and so much fluidity of rosters, Clemson has the most returning production. They're one of the few teams that's returning a starting quarterback. I talked about it on the Backyard Catch podcast earlier this week. They're one of only 3 teams in the top 10 that have a returning starter. I think they're one of only 2 between them and Penn State in the top 7. Everyone else is a new starter, you know? I mean, yes, Arch Manning has started a game or so, but this is his first year really starting, you know? So, and that's what's really fun about this game is that Garrett Nussmeier, he's also a returning starter, only returning passer of over 4,000 yards. You know, he could have gone off to the NFL. He came back because they want to do more. So it's a big one for both teams. I think there's a lot been talked about, like, who this game is more important for. There's different aspects of that. But let's dive into the matchup. And I think with Nussmeier and Klubnik, both those guys, I think, will be talked about a lot. But really, I think where the game is in the balance is in the trenches. Because you've got offensive lines that both want to continue to improve. Clemson's offensive line, they've been, you know, they were last year, they were coached by Matt Luke, who did an excellent job. They're returning guys, and it's going to be really important because, you know, LSU has been made improvements on their defense. They have a guy like Harold Perkins. You have to keep your eye on, and then they have guys on their front who can go after and get it. They have a really good secondary. So that matchup's going to be interesting to watch. And then on the other side, you've got studs in TJ Parker, Peter Woods. You bring in help from Purdue, you know, and Devontae Capehart, who gets to be, you know, kind of the fourth guy who gets left out. They're going against offensive line, I think, if I remember correctly, only has 16 combined starts between all 5 of them. Or all 5 that will play. And not all those are even at LSU, you know? So that's a makeshift offense for a night game at Clemson. That'll be interesting to see how much can they even get, like, the plays off, how the communication be. That cat and mouse strategy game between offense, you know, new DC, new offensive line, how much can they see? Can Clemson get pressure with just 4? I think that's going to be a big question, because if they can get pressure with just 4, then it leaves you guys more, lets you guys have more in coverage, and it reduces how much windows there are in the passing game. Because also too, Nussmeier he's a good thrower, but he's not as much in the running game. So if he doesn't have as much time to throw, there's going to be, you know, tighter windows to try to fit it into. So, and then how is LSU's running game going to be? Because if Nussmeier has to do it all himself, that's going to be a longer night for them versus if, you know, Durham and those guys, they can run the ball really well. So I think we're going to, there's been a lot of anticipation and on both sides. I think that's what makes this game so fun, is that there's a lot we want to see, right? Like, our guys at that next level, you know, questions of, is Adam Randall really ready to be the number one running back converted from wide receiver? Dabo and the staff think so, of course. I mean, all things look great. It'll be interesting to see, you know, that next step. And, you know, will guys like Gideon Davidson be able to step up, make some big plays? You know, heard a lot of talk about, you know, all the weapons all kind of coming together. There's a lot of options at receiver. How does that go as well? I think for both teams, wanting to get off to a good start, because there's a lot of wanting to continue to go for this next year. So, like I said, I think that the trenches are where it's going to be. And I think especially on the LSU offensive line, how do they handle Clemson's defense? How does Tom Allen decide to attack that and try to defend from a defense? Like, does he take a lot of pressure? Does he try to hold back? Can LSU have a running game? I think that's even more specifically, does LSU have any sort of running game? Because Nussmeier, like, he can extend plays, but he's not an extension of the run game. You know, that's just not his strengths, and that's great. So they're going to have to try to get some of the running game. And so will LSU be able to actually get a push on the offensive line? If they do, and they can become more balanced, play action pass becomes more open, you can take more shots over the top, there's more space. Versus if guys like Sammy Brown can come downhill and attack through the gaps, it just makes it tougher, you know, and puts Nussmeier under more pressure, make quicker decisions, which can lead to more mistakes. I mean, I would think the same would go for Klubnik. So that's massive. I think this first quarter is really massive in who can establish how they want to play the game. On the other side, I just think too, in this kind of a game, is Clemson all, you know, also would want to get off to a good start. I think in years past, it hasn't been as much that way. So I wouldn't be as concerned if that happened. I wouldn't be as surprised. It'd be good for Clemson to get off to a good start, really, for both teams. I think to go see the ball go through the net, so to speak. So I would expect both play callers to have maybe some more quicker passes. People may or may not like it, but the screen game will be a part of that, especially with guys coming in, you know, trying to pressure, trying to make plays in a big game like this. I expect to see more screens. I expect to see wide receiver, little slants across the middle, just to get guys going and kind of get those juices flowing. I could even see like a design run for like a Cade Klubnik, just to get hit. Some guys like to get hit a little bit to get the feel of the game and get the jitters and get that going. A lot of anticipation. I also expect some mistakes, because remember, this is the first game, obviously, but there's no, like, they've only been playing each other, you know, so there will be probably a little bit of mistakes, some rust. The crowd will be ready to go. So that will be really key as well. And then third down, I think it'll be massive. Whichever team can win third down is going to be massive, because Clemson's defense was having a hard time getting off at times third down, or, you know, preventing the run, or even like, what down is it? Like, what's the distance? Like, is it third and long? Like, is it third and seven, third and eight all night for Garrett Nussmeier? Or is it like third and two, third and three, third and one? You know, like, that's a big difference when it comes to this type of game. So that's an aspect that I'm looking for. At the same time, too, they have all these different receivers from Clemson, and I'm curious to see how exactly, you know, who are the first three to line up. You know, if I were to guess right now, it would probably be Antonio Williams, Bryant Wesco, and TJ Moore. Of course, didn't release a depth chart, but I mean, those guys are going to be rotating, and how all those different pieces are. Then you have Tyler Brown, you have, you know, Turner, you have a bunch of these different guys that can play. And don't forget about transfer Tristan Smith, you know, and he's a big guy who has shown really well in camp. And LSU's lost some pieces. You know, they lost, you know, more talent receiving wise past few years, but I don't worry about them when it comes to talent and speed on the outside. I think that has always been one of their strengths, and I don't see why it wouldn't be this year. So before we get into more the line of the game, I want to make sure we talk about our partners with SeatGeek. If you're looking to travel to a game, if you're trying to buy tickets for later in the year, SeatGeek is a great option. It finds you the best prices that you can see. It shows you on a scale of 1 to 10 how good your seats can be. And with our code BackyardCatch with the part of the network, you get $20 off your first purchase as a new member. It gets you a discount, gets you a deal. You know you're getting a good seat from a place you can trust. And help support the channel, help support me. So both would thank you and that. And then as well as we're talking about different things, make sure you are liked and subscribed on the podcast. You can find us anywhere. That's super helpful. We're trying to get to make sure we get to 500 subscribers. That is our first mark of the year. Helps me out a ton, unlocks some more things for me, and helps support the channel and what we're trying to build and trying to do here. And also, so finally, what we're trying to build, if you like having conversations and you want to continue in the community, not just apart on like a Sunday or at the games, we are building a really cool Discord. And so Discord is an app. It's a site where you can be a part of a community and chat throughout the week and throughout the day. So that is for free. We'll have the link in the description below to sign up, and then also gets you signed up for the newsletter that goes out about once a week. That gives different updates or different announcements. And that's also free to sign up, and that supports me as well. So I really appreciate it. Currently, the line is about, as we get back to the game preview, the line's about 3.5 for Clemson. And you know, they give about, you know, Clemson, they say about 3 points at home. So I think home field is a huge deal in this game, and the noise that can be brought into this. And so I think that's the interesting part, is I could see this kind of playing out a few different ways. If Clemson's able to get the ball going and they can get a score up or two on LSU, and LSU just like catch up the whole time, I think that makes it tougher, because then they have to become more one-dimensional, and you know they're throwing and you can work with that more. If it's kind of in this middle ground, however, in the first quarter or two, where both teams are taking some punches and it's about, you know, it's tied at half, say it's like 10-10 or 13-10, that kind of a game where you have some scores, but, you know, have to settle for some field goals, I think that, you know, also goes in favor to LSU, because that keeps them more comfortable within the game. I think that's going to be a key thing to watch. Another key thing to watch too is I think the teams will be able to move the ball some on both of them. I don't expect complete shutouts by either team. I don't expect complete offensive takes over. I think it's going to be a little back and forth, different punches being thrown and absorbed. I think whoever team obviously too can punch it when they get into the red zone within the 20-yard line. That's going to be massive, because obviously 7 or 6 is bigger than 3. And if a team has to sell for more field goals, it lets the other team be able to come back. So I think that's going to be massive as well. And as we saw from, you know, the game in Ireland, of course it was raining that day and pretty tough conditions to play in, that turnovers, you know, and change of field can be massive as well. So I see that. I think for me, if when it comes down to, you know, just predicting the game, I think for me, like, I think that these teams are pretty evenly matched. I don't think there's crazy advantages on either side. I think Clemson being at home is pretty massive. So if it were me, I'm taking Clemson minus the 3.5. I think they're going to win, obviously, if they win and cover the spread. I'm going to go with, I think it's going to be like 31-24. I think a late score puts them ahead, and, you know, maybe get one more stop in there as well. I could see this being a tight game. I think it's more often than not, if you were to simulate this game, this is going to be a tighter game where either team can win. I trust in the changes that Clemson's made, especially in the running game, that they'll be able to get some stops and it won't be like as much as it was last year. However, it is game one, and I do think that there will be some broken coverages. I do think there will be, you know, there'll be opportunities for some scores, and LSU is a good team as well. So I think both teams will be able to score. Now, having said that, in different scenarios, if that scenario plays out as I'm predicting, I think that's a, I mean, obviously that's great for Clemson. It's a big feather in your cap, big one at home. There's a lot of expectations this year, and I know that Clemson would, you know, wouldn't mind that. At the same time, you know, they would say it's one game at a time. I do think that from a from an individual team standpoint, there's more pressure on LSU because they haven't won the opener, obviously, in 5 years. And for Brian Kelly, I know that it would be a really big win on the road for him. But there are, you could argue there are probably some more chances for bigger games on their schedules because they play in the SEC. And I think like they'll have a little bit more, like a 9-3 team has a better shot, or, you know, a 10-2 team has a better shot of getting in than the ACC. So that being said, you know, and then Clemson is the favorite in the ACC when the conference was LSU. I feel like a lot of people have them in about that third or fourth slot, depending on how the year goes. Some not, but that's kind of the general consensus I'm seeing. However, conference-wise, this would be massive for the ACC. You have your, who's been your top dog for the last decade, them and Florida State, you know, but Clemson more recently. You know, if they hold serve and win at home, it's a big one for their conference, you know, especially with how much the SEC has continued to, you know, promote themselves and the narratives around, you know, college football, that'd be massive for them. But from a, if Clemson were to lose, I think it'd be like, okay, you lick your wounds and you, just from an individual team standpoint, you lick your wounds, you move on. There's other opportunities. It doesn't count as a conference game, you know, so Clemson fans don't want to hear it, but even if they lose, they could be 10-2, lose to LSU and South Carolina again. They're 10-2, you win the conference, you're in the title game, you know? Or even if you're 11-1 and say you've lost one of those games, and even if you lose, like you're 11-1 and you lose the ACC title game, say to Miami, for example, you're 11-2, there's still a good shot of you getting in as an at-large, and you'd have to go on the road. But there's a lot of things. I mean, we're going off what we know, but there's a lot that could happen within this year for sure. But I think for LSU, I mentioned it a little bit, but if they win, it would be massive for them, and it'd be a big momentum boost for them. And they would be very happy to tell you how, you know, great they are and going into that, in which they would earn it. You know, I think Clemson as well, both teams are ready to say that they won this game, you know. But if they lose, I think that's where it gets a little bit, the conversation is a little bit tougher, you know, or just there's more pressure, you know, you move on. But, and last year I heard a stat from, you know, Crane and Company, they reminded me that, you know, they were 6-1 even after the USC loss, you know. And to me, I have a little bit more, you know, questions. Like, I know that Durham can play, but I have a little bit more concerns when it comes to their running game. But Clemson, it will too. I trust the offensive line more than I trust LSU's. So there you have it. That is my prediction for this weekend, 31-24. For Clemson fans, I know they're hoping that right. But super excited. It's going to be a fun season. However, it turns out on Saturday. So yeah, make sure you subscribe and like the podcast. Help us to get to 500. Hope you have a great Labor Day weekend and you enjoy all this football that's going on. So I appreciate you listening. And for now, we're signing off.